This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
But Mortgage presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Button up your mortgage with the Button Mortgage Team. Call 833-BUTTON-2 or visit buttonmortgageteam.com. The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, two-stop Daily Ticker. Let's start down in Arizona, shall we? In Pac-12 country, a big announcement yesterday for the Arizona basketball program. Is Sean Miller on his way out? What do we make of it? What's next? Matt Moreno joining us now. At Matt Go AZ Cats on Twitter, goazcats.com, the rival site down there. Matt, thanks for the time this morning, man. We appreciate it. Your reaction, we kind of have been expecting this, but then not expecting it because it hadn't happened sooner. But finally, they make the decision, a change at head coach. What was your reaction to the news yesterday?
It was interesting. Obviously, we've kind of been hearing the rumors since the end of the season. I was told pretty close to the end of the season that this was the direction everyone was leaning. The president has a pretty heavy influence on the athletic department at Arizona. And what I've been told is that, you know, he wanted to move on and was ready to move on. And then, you know, a month passes and we're kind of going, okay, maybe this is not going to happen. It's, you know, if you would have made a decision, if you had your decision made, you would have made it, you know, when you had it a month ago. And so to see it play out, it felt like the wrong move at the time. But it felt like, you know, eventually you got to the point where you said, I think Sean Miller is going to be coming back. And then, you know, then you get the news and you kind of start to hear the rumors kind of pick up a little bit more, and then you get the official word. And so not completely shocking. I think there's a big portion of the fan base who feels like it's long overdue. And obviously the team and the direction of the program has been declining a little bit in recent years. And you can blame that on several different things. And a lot of people point to, you know, the NCAA pending sanctions that are eventually going to be headed Arizona's way as something that's been kind of a big deterrent in them progressing as a program. But for whatever reason, it just felt like the results were there. You could look at them plainly and see that, you know, there is the program was declining a bit. And so not a shock, but I think for a lot of fans, it's definitely unsettling and they are concerned about what's next for this program.
Well, Matt, I think naturally we go to the next head coach of a prominent program like Arizona with a great history. Kudos to Lute Olson on that one. But I'm wondering the direction you think that they're headed with this. We could be going lifetime assistant coach direction. Maybe there's a name out there they can take from a program. I think the natural thought here in Portland, and this is a little biased, Damon Stoudemire's kind of come onto the coaching scene. A lot of people have complimented what he's been able to do down in the WCC, and that kind of feels like a match made in heaven and something he's wanted probably his whole coaching career is to get to Arizona and be the head coach. Where does he stack up, and how do you think they're viewing this next hire?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times in the past, you would look at maybe an alum and maybe a group of alums and maybe cringe a little bit, say, oh, that's just, you know, fans being fans wanting Matt to be the next coach. But you look at Damon, you look at some of these options that Arizona has within the family, so to speak, and there's a lot of quality options in terms of the alums that they have as head coaches right now and as assistant coaches at different parts of basketball at the college level. At the NBA level. And so when you look at Damon, he makes a lot of sense. Maybe not so much a couple years ago, but at this point, you know, at Pacific, he's won Coach of the Year in the West Coast Conference a couple years back. He's had some head coaching experience now. He's been at Arizona as an assistant under Sean Miller for a couple years. Mm-hmm. They were very successful when he was on staff. And so I think the case could be made for Damon Stoudemire. I think if you look at kind of the overall rankings of where the potential candidates are, he's in the top two. He's someone that has to be very strongly considered and makes a lot of sense because of the experience he's been able to gain as a head coach at Pacific.
Yeah, it'd be cool for us to see up here. He's a local guy, obviously played for the Blazers for a number of years. We'd love to see that. We'll get you out of here on this one, Matt. We were having this conversation earlier, and I'm curious to see your thoughts on it. We were just talking about the hierarchy of teams in the conference, and you know what? They had a great year in the tournament this year, but Arizona obviously not a part of that because of the postseason restrictions and not being able to go to the NCAA tournament or the Pac-12 tournament. Where does this program rank? Like, if you were going to power rank just the best jobs right now in the Pac-12, and the FBI stuff has to be a part of that conversation, where does Arizona fall in your mind?
I think right now it's probably third. I think you have to look at Oregon and the job that Dana Altman's done and see how stable that situation is and how they are a consistent winner. And that feels like the class of the Pac-12. And then you look at this run that UCLA was on, and they've really done a lot of good things under Mick Cronin and have really made a lot of progress, you know, in his short time there. And so I think you have to look at those two programs. UCLA has obviously always been a big part of the Pac-12 when you talk about the conference as a whole. And you look at both those programs, and they're ahead of Arizona right now. Arizona is still a pretty desirable job. It's still a place that I think will generate a lot of interest. But right now I see Arizona kind of in that third spot behind Oregon and UCLA within the conference.
Matt, as quickly as possible, when are we looking at a timeline for a new hire?
I think it's going to be very quick. I think it's one of those things that takes maybe 7 to 10 days is what it feels like right now. Okay. And they have a pretty good feel of, I think, where they want to go.
There you go. Great stuff. Matt Moreno, go give him a follow on Twitter, at Matt GoAZCats on Twitter, the senior editor of GoAZCats.com, the rival site down there. Thanks so much for the time this morning, man. We really appreciate it, and we'll have to touch base, I'm sure, if we get that hire in the next week and a half.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
There you go, Matt Moreno. So from one stop to the other, we'll stay here on the West Coast. Let's go down to the Chargers, shall we? There's a lot going on with that organization. Herbert going into year two, a busy offseason for them. They got the 13th overall pick and an ownership drama. Gilbert Manzano joining us now at GManzano24 on Twitter, Charger beat writer down there. Gilbert, thanks for the time, man. What's going on with this ownership drama? Like, this is one of those stories I feel like I haven't read much about, and it's just been kind of flying under the radar. What's happening with the Spanos family?
Yeah, it was a little random. It kind of came up out of nowhere last week. You know, it had some headlines and it kind of, you know, disappeared for a little bit. But, you know, I think once you really look down at, you know, the sister of Dean Spanos, the controlling owner of the Chargers, you know, first of all, the Chargers are family, you know, they're family owned. The Spanos family owns the Chargers 96%. But it's all divided up between the siblings. And I guess, you know, there's four siblings and the sister, Dea, she's really focused on, you know, I know the story got a lot of headlines because the petition in court said, you know, they had to sell the team because, they're drowning in debt. They have the family trust has so much debt, and the best way to kind of solve that is to sell the team. But once you start looking at the, you know, I'm kind of getting the whole long rundown, but once you really look down at what she's really pushing for, you know, the Chargers are family owned, but 36% of that team is owned by a family trust, and the family trust that was for the parents who passed away, Alex Spanos and Faye. So they're kind of, you know, fighting for that 36%. And I think what, you know, so now more details are coming to me, and I'm going to be a little boring with all the details, but each sibling owns 24%. So I think what she wants to do is maybe get the four siblings to say, hey, you know, we should maybe sell this family trust, bring in somebody from the outside. And maybe you bring somebody from the outside, then the wheels start going about potentially selling this team. But I don't see the siblings, the three other siblings who have right of first refusal, doing that. So until she could somehow persuade the siblings to you know, get somebody else from the outside to come in and then maybe be the majority owner. But the siblings have right of first refusal. There is no way she could do that, sell the team. So I think once people start realizing that there's no really a clear path for her to sell the team, unless she's very persuasive. This is not really a story. It's kind of more a family squabble and who gets the piece of the pie, who gets the money faster. But I think for right now, Dean Spanos and the Spanos family are going to own the Chargers for a very long time. That's what they're saying. They're saying that they want the team for a long time, and that's what the attorney is saying. They want the team for a long time. So I think they kind of, you know, they pushed this fire aside. It's going to be lingering for a while. It's going to play out in court for a few years. So you're going to hear some stories creep up here and there. But until the sister convinces you know, at least one sibling that, hey, we should probably sell, you know, this family trust, then the wheels start going. But other than that, it's kind of more of a family squabble and not really a big story. That's why it kind of maybe went away after a couple of days.
Yeah, clickbait headline for sure. Look, they went defensive coach with Brandon Staley. I think a lot of people wanted offensive guy because of what Herbert's season was. But they went Brandon Staley, who's respected quite well in the NFL. They're sitting with the 13th pick. We talked with Matt Miller yesterday that, you know, guy like Penei Sewell, he probably won't, but there's a possibility a good offensive tackle could drop to the Chargers. Who do you think, assuming a guy like Sewell doesn't fall quite that far, who do you think the Chargers are, or what position are the Chargers looking for at 13th in the draft?
Yeah, I think the Chargers would love to see Penei Sewell fall at number 13, but I don't think that's going to happen. I know the Chargers in years past, you know, like to go best player available, unless it's quarterback. As last year happened, they needed a quarterback, and obviously the best player available was Justin Herbert, and it worked out in the long run, which is crazy to think that he was the third quarterback taken a year ago. But I think this year they're going to stick to best player available. And if it's not Penei Sewell, it's not Rashawn Slater, you might have to start looking to the cornerback. The cornerback position is pretty deep. Again, you might not even get Patrick Surtain, but you see a J.C. Horn. But I think they got to find a way to kind of combine the need and the talent, because there is a big need at left tackle. But after Slater and Penei Sewell, it's a small little drop off. So do you want to reach at 13? Do you want to wait for a left tackle, which is a deep tackle class? You wait till the second round or third round and find, maybe, hopefully, you get a ride and get a starter for Justin Herbert on the blind side. But I think they're going to go best player available at number 13. And if their Chargers are lucky to get combined need and best player, maybe get a cornerback, because cornerback is a need. But it's been a long time for the Chargers to kind of fill that left tackle position. I remember it last year. I kept saying they got to get a left tackle. They didn't even draft a tackle in the draft. So, and they kind of just went about it that way. So I don't know if they're going to do that 2 years in a row, but I just don't see the Chargers reaching. Maybe, you know, Darrisaw could be an intriguing prospect at left tackle. But, you know, they're going to be doing backflips if Slater or Sewell falls to them at 13.
Yeah, that'd be great news for the Chargers. And, hey, it'd be great to see a couple of Ducks reunited. I know everybody up here would love to see it. Gilbert Manzano, go give him a follow on Twitter, at GManzano24, Charger beat writer, down there covering the Chargers. Thanks for the update on the ownership situation and a look ahead to the draft. We'll have to touch base again, and that's a couple of weeks away. We can't wait. Thanks, man.
No problem. Thank you, guys.